Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy. Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mian Team.
Mad Jin.
With guest co-host,
One Crazy Canadian.
Hi, Clara. This is Ronnie. I tried faxing it on Thursday when we spoke. I made a copy and tried to send it to you right away. I don't know why it didn't go through. But I faxed it again just now, a few minutes ago. So just check, and if you did not receive it, give me a call back so I can refax it. Okay? Talk to you soon. Bye.
Welcome, everyone, to Polycast number 292. My name is One Crazy Canadian, and here with me today are Mad Jin.
Murder, murder.
Makalua.
I'm pretty sure there's at least three crazy Canadians on this cast.
Dan Quick.
To Yevoni at the Silver Spring Medical Center in Silver Spring, Maryland. No, Clara did not receive your fax, and you'll have to send it again. Sincerely, 1994.
Oh, wow. The Mian Team.
Their borders are more like guidelines, really.
And we can just jump right into it.
My introductory message was not just completely random. The Polycast voicemail got a voicemail, our call-in number. And even though there's the whole overview about, this is Polycast, a series of Civilization podcasts, this person went through that whole thing and still thought she was talking about Clara.
Clara.
I don't know what to say to that, other than I'm calling you out on the show. Thanks for the call.
Alrighty then.
Maybe that was the plan.
Oh, yes, because this Silver Spring Medical Center in Maryland, and for those listening who may not know, yes, Maryland is in the United States. It's home to Firaxis Games. Maybe they thought that they would give them some new business because the people who listen to the show need medical attention. It seems pretty harsh.
Well, if they are in Maryland, how do you know it wasn't somebody from Firaxis having some fun?
Could be.
Or someone from Firaxis could have put them up to it. That makes sense. I should do a little investigating to the connections between Firaxis and this medical center. All right?
Yeah. Pretty obvious they're connected.
Totally.
So we're getting a fall update, which is basically religion.
Yay, religion. Wait, I already have that.
Yeah, we're supposed to get some new units. We're getting two new pantheons, some new founder, follower, enhancer, and worship beliefs. We're going to get a warrior monk. We're also going to get a guru unit as a medic, a religious medic, basically.
Yeah. Wait, we don't have to send our missionaries back to holy sites now to heal themselves?
Nope. Well, now religious units are going to have some zone of control and even some flank and support bonuses for religious combat.
Because that's needed.
In our chat, Drusine asks, so since the religious victory is the least common victory, why is religion taking priority for revision? I don't know, maybe because it's the least common victory?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the comments I read on the official Civilization of Facebook page in response to this was from Thiago Vaz de Mello, who said, finally, there is no way the religion mechanics could be worse. No religion mechanics would already be an improvement. Oh, well.
Wow. Hard.
It's harsh, but yeah. I'm not entirely disagreeing.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, it's not just religion. Apparently, we're going to get UI, AI, and balance enhancements. Allegedly, the oceans are safe no longer, as the AI players are going to increase their building of naval units and fleets and armadas. I'm going to believe that when I see it.
I like also, additionally, they're better at healing and protecting their naval units. Yeah, but do they use them to begin with? Or are they just healing and like...
I think they're just saying they're going to build more naval units is basically the takeaway here.
Well,
that's all you're guaranteed to see happen is that the AI will build more navy.
So when they say the upcoming edition of one of our new civs, does that mean we can take away that that's at least two? Because civs is plural.
Oh, yeah, no, the forums figured out there's exactly two, and they know exactly which two they are.
Again, people mining through the code, and left hand not talking to the right hand about what's already been released to the public, or at the very least what the public can access.
It's Khmer in Indonesia.
They're adding stuff, but I guess they're also removing something as well.
Yeah, the least useful gossip messages. Does this mean when I do a deal with another player, you're not going to have my spies tell me that my country just did a deal with another player? Guys, yeah, we know.
When it says we're removing the least useful, Are the developers and the publishers and we as a community, are we in agreement on what the least useful gossip messages are?
Probably not. I don't know.
Then you would have to
repeat your own actions to yourself.
It's not like there's a ton of greatly useful ones, so...
Mm. That's true.
I hope it goes one step further than that. Hey, not only are we removing the least useful gossip messages, but we've got an archive of gossip messages you can go to in case you missed it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
3-4 seconds it was on the screen.
That'd be helpful.
Most of the messages just take up space on the UI every turn.
Yes, a little icon on the side that you press, and it pops up a bunch of gossip messages that are split up between the different civs that you know.
Or mouse over it and have it show those.
Yeah, and then you can go to an archive of them so you know what happened a few turns ago that you were completely forgot about but you wanted to remember.
Yes, and turn stamped, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, we're also going to have some overall changes to the UI, including an update to the diplomacy screens to ensure all information is clear and easy to find.
Is the information useful?
Yeah. Is it useful? I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm going to need to find this information.
Guys, this was just a preview of the patch notes, which will be a preview of what people have to figure out what actually changed later.
Yeah, it's a tease. Elsewise, in response to this on Facebook, a few more comments that I saw. AI tweaks. The game wasn't a challenge even on the hardest difficulties. I'm hoping it is more than just tweaked. James Roberts says, is this patch finally going to allow cross-platform multiplayer?
Lol.
Oh, man. Bane of my existence.
Kevin Quinlan wants the production queue back. Yes.
That'd be nice.
It'd be very nice. Yeah.
I don't know where it went exactly.
Apparently the modders can handle it, so I would hope the devs can. So, yeah.
Although, honestly, my favorite comment was a relatively non sequitur, but if you look at the infographic that goes with the patch preview, Jason Latimer responded to part of it. Cringy holy site placement. I expected better. Yeah, because it's not adjacent to the mountain for some reason.
Maybe that was Australia, and they get all those bonuses from beauty, so maybe it was better over there?
Oh, no, my inference is that there's no longer an adjacency bonus for founding a holy site to a mountain. It's the new pro strategy. You found it on the coast instead.
Totally.
No, that makes sense.
Pro strat.
Yeah. I'm convinced.
Heard it here first.
Now for something that's been about 10 months in the making, so to speak.
They've really been that long? Well, okay then.
Yep.
In the thread we got in on input request for Christmas, we have a mention from Timothy 001. How about a discussion on possible alternate leaders for existing civs and what their potential bonus might be, T-H-E-I-R, by the way, and how they contrast to the existing leaders? Well, Timothy, you're in luck. We're going to move this up. It's not going to be 12 months, apparently. So we have a thread, Redesigning the Civ 6 Civs by Igor S., and a bit of a lengthy first post, but he goes on to have a lot of suggestions for alternative leaders that exist in the base game. So I guess we're going to take a run through some of these.
From his opening post, he said that he'd try his hand at redesigning the civilizations present in the game. The main thing that I did try was to stick with the game mechanics and features, not trying to invent something that is not in the game yet. And also of note, I excluded those civilizations that I think shouldn't have been included at all. The Macedonians should be part of Greece, the Sumerians, which I have replaced with the Babylons, and the Scythians, which I have replaced with the Mongolians. So.
Well,
there's a mod for that.
That's fine, though. I mean, if you're going to be making up new stuff anyway, you might as well, right?
So yeah, so we're going to take turns introducing each one of Igor S.'s suggestions in terms of the civilization ability and the leader, or indeed leaders. Going to be in order of seniority. It'll be myself, then Mackie, then Phil, then Matt, and then 1cc. That's your new shorthand, by the way. I can't say one crazy Canadian all the time. It takes too long.
Sure, you can.
That's perfectly fine.
Fuck.
And then we'll go back to the beginning again. So yes, leading off, America! Civilization ability, we the people. Government legacy bonuses earn 25% faster. One policy card can be changed per turn without paying gold. You've got two unique units. You've got a Minuteman replacing the Musket Man, minus 20 production cost, plus 1 movement, and your fighter replacement, the Mustang, has plus 5 attack against aircraft, plus 2 range, and you've got a ranch as a unique infrastructure, plus 1 food, plus 1 housing, and plus 1 culture. So rather than reading now about the Leader 1 and Leader 2, what about just the civilization abilities in and of themselves?
Per turn, one policy card per turn, that's going to be more than a little OP. That should be every certain number of turns.
Per turn without paying gold? Too strong.
Yeah. And in real life, Congress doesn't move that fast.
It does seem to take away the strategy, because it's about making choices. And I mean, you've kind of got that embedded already. And sometimes I look at the policy cards in terms of, okay, this is the next policy card that I want. I've currently adopted, say, Professional Army to do upgrades. And now I have to think for myself, you know, I could wait the 7 or 8 turns while I still have this policy in place and not have to worry about paying gold. Or am I better off going a little farther down the beaten path, say a civic that I didn't research before that's only going to take 3 or 4 turns so I can swap out a professional army more quickly? There's a choice as opposed to, oh, I've upgraded them all this turn and all I have to do is remember next turn to go and change the policy card where there is no consequence. I don't have to pay gold, so I'm assuming, yeah, I don't have to do anything other than go back to that screen.
Well, you don't have to make it available every turn, but I like the idea that a civ has more ability to choose there as an advantage. That's not necessarily a bad bonus. It's not even that far removed from something like the spiritual trait in Civ 4. It can work. Every turn is probably a bit much. You effectively have every temporary modifier you could ever want on demand. That's probably a little bit too far. But having it on an interval would be something relatively unique to the Civ that's still conferring a pretty significant benefit. I don't know what interval you'd set that would be balanced. One a turn is almost certainly too much. Once every like 10, 20 turns scaled, maybe a little too
not
slow.
Not enough. Five turns maybe?
Well,
maybe one every time you finish a tech.
As opposed to every time you finish a civic.
Yes. Oh, like doubling up?
Because I was thinking how you would scale that in terms of number of turns, because not only would you need to take into account game speed, which I think, okay, we're kind of doing that already, but then as you progress farther along in the civic tree, it's either going to become like a little shorter or a little longer. It's like, yes, my culture ability should be getting better in terms of my cultural output, but the civics cost a little more. So is it going to really feel like an advantage? Like 1 or 2 turns in the first part of the game, whatever the game speed is going to feel very different than later on. So rather than trying to come up with that magic number, which sounds like whack-a-mole, I like the idea of tying it to something else. Like, for example, like 1cc suggested doubling up on, oh, it's not just when a civic finishes that you can go and change as many policy cards as you want on a turn, also when you complete a technology. I like it.
Yeah, it could work.
Something different.
Elsewise, government legacy bonuses earn 25% faster.
That's the same, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a pretty unsubstantial bonus for time being there, but it doesn't do much. I guess there's a lot of stuff in vanilla like that, and that's one of them in vanilla that's like that.
Drusane has suggested per era, I think, about when the policy card could be changed in addition to when you complete a civic without paying gold. There's that too, but I almost feel like it's a little on the underwhelming side. Yeah, you know, given the number of times you're going to be able to complete a tech is going to be considerably more than per era.
Yeah.
Although if you thought that per era during balancing was actually too overpowered, then maybe per era. I would try that second. I would like to think it would be more engaging and interesting if it was per tech. Kind of go to the unique infrastructure. What's missing for me there in trying to understand, although it's kind of implied based on that it's called a ranch, what hexes can this be on? Like, I'm assuming a
Plains tiles.
And I'm assuming only Plains tiles, so I like that.
I live in a forested Plains tile. I have authority on this.
Although if you could throw that on any Plains tile, that could get pretty strong pretty quickly.
Yeah, maybe only
non-floods Plains tiles.
Clear or flat. Yeah, flat
especially tile. Because it's like every single one of these things is plus one housing. You could just tone that down and make it spammable, I guess. That's fine, too.
Well, if it cut it down to half a housing, it'll be the same
as a farm. 0.5. There you go.
Or you could borrow so that you can't have one range adjacent to another one.
Although, why would a ranch give you culture? Like
I don't know.
Have you been to Texas?
That could get you pretty strong, too. Like, that's a lot of culture.
There's no culture. No culture from a ranch. When ranches were first put up, when people were going west and slapping up space, they didn't have culture. No. It was... way after the 80s when people went, hey, let's do this ranch culture thing, and it became popular. That's
people
when
going to dude ranches, I think that's been at least since the 50s.
That became popular later, and that's when the culture started popping up.
Yes, with the ranch, you can make it work sort of like the Outback stations, where if you put a bunch adjacent to each other, maybe they get a little more powerful.
They'd have to have some type of scaling.
Yeah.
Well, they'd have to have something more than one food, because really,
people start making Westerns.
Yeah, a ranch needs more than one food.
Yeah.
Is it reasonable to infer that this unique infrastructure can be built from the beginning of the game, or pretty close to the beginning of the game? Like, congratulations, you've researched animal husbandry, so now you can ranch it up?
You might have to add a little bit later than animal husbandry. It takes a little more than that. I mean, people were building fences and stuff, sure, but not some huge thing that what a ranch is.
Well,
how much tech do you really need for that, though? Like, how different were ranches when you space them out 1,000 years between each other before the industrial era? So, like, if we're not making you wait until then, how different was a ranch, like, a couple centuries apart from another ranch?
Well, I guess the question on that is, before, quote-unquote, ranches started popping up, did they really just keep all their animals in the same area?
In the same, much smaller area. There's a field, and then there's what a ranch is, which is like literally a couple of counties worth of, you know, territory. I mean, I'm thinking of super huge things like King Ranch, but...
Yeah, I guess you have to kind of differentiate from that place that puts up a couple of fence posts and has two horses versus that place that owns half the county.
Yes.
I'm still not seeing what the major technological barrier would be, aside from machinery, that would give you a requirement more than animal husbandry.
Yeah, no, I would say just the sheer size of it for managing stuff in an efficient manner.
Well, okay, but are you going to make this a late game improvement or not? And if you're not, then why are you making someone wait after animal husbandry? What's the rationale for putting it later?
I don't. And if it's a late game thing, then it's got to have a hell of a lot more than one food and one house and one culture.
Yeah, absolutely. The late game stuff like that kind of sucks anyway, because unless you do advanced era start, it just doesn't factor into gameplay in the overwhelming majority of cases.
Mm-hmm. You could put it up to guilds like with the Outback Station is. That's still early-ish, early mid-ish kind of.
I guess.
Yeah, it seems more of like a flavored farm.
Yeah.
Ranch replaces farm.
That's true. America doesn't get farms. They only get ranches.
Goes with our ranch dressing, lol.
Never mind all our Volander food output. That doesn't count. They're all ranches.
Yep.
Before we have a look at the American leader abilities from the chat, Drew Sane, the +2 range suggestion on the Mustang is, oh my gosh, overpowered.
How so?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the overpowered part of it.
I never really have to use Arianets, so I know that's
significant, it's a fighter, so like you're going to get better intercept range. I guess you can attack stuff with it.
I guess you can get further away from your airbase.
Well, yeah, there's that. I would think more of that if it was, +2 range and this is a bomber replacement. Well,
this is an anti-fighter thing.
Yes.
Of course, the problem with air combat is the fact that you can have like 100 Mustangs or any fighters in a path and the bomber will just fly right past them because, I don't know, the game doesn't force bombers to deal with fighters in the path. So it becomes a lot less realistic in the fact that there's no ability to stop people from getting anywhere near your stuff.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
You put fighters up in the air now, and there's now zone of controls, basically, on the map. And you would think that a bomber that has to fly through a path to get to its target would get shot at along the path. But apparently not.
First leader, Washington. Ability, first in war, first in peace. Military units production 20% faster when at war. Production of workers in districts, 20% faster when at peace.
That's a pretty strong bonus.
So we still part of Australia's bonus.
Of course, that for Australia is only, what, the first, was it 20 turns or something like that? So you got a war here as America that's going on 100 turns. Military unit production 20% faster. Industrial zones, guys. Hey, guess what? I could construct this industrial zone 20% faster, too. kind of feeds into itself. Hey, it makes production more valuable in the game.
Control people multiplayer by declaring on them from across the world just to mess with their ability to build infrastructure.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
People would do it in MP. People will absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, guys, can you declare war on me so I can build stuff faster? Thanks.
They would declare just to block the district and lay consolidation, even if they're not in a position to fight. It would happen in MP. I promise it would.
Yep.
Guys, I need to prepare for war. Declare war on me as fast as possible.
Yep.
As the game goes on, that's going to become even better and better when 20% of a much larger base is pretty dang impressive. In his agenda, the first president will try to get a modern government as soon as possible, likes leaders more with more advanced governments, dislikes leaders with governments less advanced than his. So modern government, do you mean like a modern era government? Or is that, there's no capital in that, or is that just a more modern relative to everybody else? You want to get to political philosophy first, or do we mean more modern, modern?
Yeah, I think the implication here is that he will try to advance that more quickly. And if he is in front of you, like if he's more to the right in terms of government choices, then he dislikes you. And if you're more to the right than him, then he likes you. And otherwise, I guess it's neutral.
Yeah, I would assume, at least from a coding perspective, if we're going that route, that, yeah, it wouldn't be the we'll beeline democracy because that's all they know how to do. No, like I would say now. I would say that they would prioritize getting to the next level government over going after other stuff.
That's more meaningful.
In the civic tree.
Fascist,
it's a bit more meaningful.
Washington. Go, go, go.
And then there's old Teddy. Ability, square deal. National parks provide plus one tourism per tile. Minus 25% cost for purchasing buildings. Oh, man. Minus one maintenance and plus 10 combat strength on hills for cavalry units. Yeah, so about what we've been talking about in terms of gold in Civilization VI. That sounds fantastic. Yeah, and then the standard likes peaceful leaders on home continent, dislikes warmongers on home continent.
Yeah, I don't get the minus one maintenance for a cav unit sitting on a hill.
Yeah, I guess it's like trying to push the Rough Riders, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I get the plus 10 combat strength because if they're attacked down the hill or whatever, then sure, whatever, they get a boost for that. That's fine, whatever. But minus one maintenance? Is there like random free horses sitting on hills all the time or... the saloons up there so they can make money from it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe he just thought they sucked and he wanted to make them used more.
The English!
Let's see. Civilization ability, Magna Carta. Each amenity-producing district, building, or improvement grants 5 gold. Wow. I guess that's not per turn. Oh, dear. Unique Unit 1, Ship of the Lion, replaces the frigate, plus 5 melee strength, plus 7 ranged strength. Redcoat's Unique Unit 2, Redcoat replaces Muskman, no disembark cost.
Yeah, standard stuff.
Yeah, yeah, plus 5 combat on home continent, plus 10 of non on home continent. Unique Infrastructure, the Seaside Pier, replace the Royal Docks, plus 1 amenity, plus 4 culture, must be built on water adjacent to an entertainment complex. That kind of makes sense. It's like Brighton in England. Yeah. Leader 1, Ethelstan. Capital is Winchester. His ability is Alfred's Legacy. All apostles have the martyr promotion. Gain a relic when becoming suzerain of a city-state for the first time if there's a free slot. Majority religions worship buildings generate plus one science. Agenda. Gospel dice. Collects relics and religious paintings. Generates both faith and science. Likes leaders who have given him relics or religious paintings. Dislikes leaders with low science and faith production. So up your game.
Religion for everyone.
Elizabeth, Capital London, ability Tudor Golden Age, earn Great Rider and Great Admiral points 25% faster. Naval Raider units can capture enemy ships except for barbarian ships. And the agenda is Sea Dogs, uses privateers often, dislikes leaders with larger navies than hers. All right.
Meh.
We need to qualify with her Magna Carta. District or building or improvement grants 5 gold. A one-time 5 gold bonus?
If it's per turn, it's pretty incredible, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't say per turn, so I don't think it's that, but...
I would assume per turn.
And if it's just a flat 5 gold, that's really crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big difference between these two things.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so we done with England?
Yeah.
All right, on to Egypt. Children of the Nile, plus 15 production for districts and wonders next to a river and can place districts and wonders on floodplains.
It's in the game right now.
Unique Unit 1, War Chariot. Places heavy chariot and becomes broken. 2 range, 25 range strength, can attack twice per turn.
Opinions on this. What?
Well, that immediately can attack twice per turn is going to be pretty lousy stuff for right at the start of the game. That's going to start good and stay good a long time.
Especially with the promotion that gets you 3 attacks per turn.
Yeah. The other unique unit is the build this upgrade, also known as Self Bowman, replaces Archer. Minus one range, but two units are produced instead of one. Gains promotion 15% faster. So you build a couple of these when you're near crossbows, and then you upgrade them, I guess, because otherwise you're probably going for war chariots under these rules. Unique infrastructure, pyramid, plus one culture, plus two with natural history, appeal, and faith. Leader one, Hattie, returns from Civ 4. Ability, mission to punt. On a trade agreement for luxury resources and another civilization runs its course, get a 40% chance to keep that luxury for good. What?
What?
Who would trade with you?
No.
You also get faith from international trade routes, but that 40% chance to keep a luxury for good?
How does, yeah.
Are you taking it from the other civ? Is it like generating luxuries out of thin air? So you just trade with everyone and then you get luxuries? Yep. Or how does this work exactly?
What?
Agenda is Valley of Kings, tries to focus on wonders as much as possible, likes leaders who do not compete with wonders. So yeah, we got another China here, I guess, because we changed the Chinese leaders further down this list. Leader two is Ramesses. His ability is, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Okay, so units produced in cities with encampments get a free promotion, plus 15 production towards an encampment in its buildings in the capital. Set stack with the Children of the Nile, question mark. Extra plus 10 production towards wonders, plus one faith from every wonder. And his agenda is charge of the war chariots. Dislikes leaders with many military units near Egypt's borders, and leaders who settle too close. What an amazing agenda.
In the case of the AI right now, it's just one, and it's your scout. Get away from my borders.
Yep.
Your scout's too close.
It's on the wrong side of the map.
There are many military units near the borders. There's probably more than just an agenda reason for dislike and bound here. But it works for you, Ramesses,
No, but Ramesses will be the instant Dow. Like, your scout's right next to me, declare war.
Yeah, I like the stacking, plus 15 towards the encampment, plus 15 for district into War Chariot. That would be a really healthy early game mechanic setup right there.
Nope, totally not broken.
You might cry a little if you start on island plates, but...
maybe.
But still, yeah.
That's like Civ 4 Egypt rush tier right there. That's pretty incredible. Yep.
Well, on to the Greek not Greek plan. One of these is Greek, one of them is not. Basically, Igor seems to not like Sparta and dislikes Macedon, so that's something political going on in there. Alex is Macedonian, not Greek. Plato's Republic, same standard. Extra world card slot. Hoplite, same standard. Heteroi, which is a Macedonian unit, not Greek, but okay. Same free promotion. Basically, this just looks like the same thing. Oh, wait, hold on. Unique infrastructure. The Acropolis replaces the theater square. So two culture of adjacent city center, one envoy upon completion, can only be built on hills. That's before. Plus one great scientist point for each great work of writing.
That's different.
So you get an envoy every time you make one of these?
Yeah, you do now. As Pericles.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right. We're combining Greece and Macedon into Greece.
Okay. Yeah. Pericles, obviously, is leader one with Athens, the Delian League. As the ability, though, 5 gold per turn and 5% culture for each city-state. Pericles is scary enough. Okay. Whatever.
That's okay.
The agenda... Grand strategy seeks to become Caesarian of every siege state on a continent which has cities. Dislikes leaders who conquer many cities of rival civs and city states. So, an AI.
You've recruited aggressive expansion.
Wants to become the Caesarian of each of the city states, fine. Although, I think this one's written a little better than current Pericles. Current Pericles just wants to be Caesarian of every single city state, regardless of where it is.
Yep.
They should at least have some focus, which, at least on this one. It provides focus. That actually seems more reasonable. But dislikes leaders who conquer many cities of rival civs? Yeah. You're my rival. I hate you. Oh, somebody just beat you up. I hate them more.
If it said dislikes leaders who conquer city-states on the same continent as them, well, okay, that would probably be even more than because now I can't be suzerain of them because you've taken them for yourself. I can see that being a more aggressive action, but this otherwise seems very disconnected.
Yeah, I would actually suggest we'll auto-liberate any city-state that's conquered. That would make more sense.
At least on their own continent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have Alex, the fusion, blah, 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 the usual stuff. War weariness is accumulated 50% slower, because apparently 100% slower is not nice enough. And then 5% culture for each conquered city that is ceded to him. Well, whoop-de-doo, ceding doesn't really work right now, so... But if you're already getting Yurikas, why do you need more culture? And of course, the agenda is like civs at war with other civs, especially those that capture cities, just like peaceful civs.
Like civilizations at war with other civilizations other than him. Lol.
Yeah, there really should be part of that in there.
Yeah.
You're at war with me. I like you.
I doubt the agenda bonus is greater than the hit to the relations when you declare on them, but whatever.
Yeah, there's some consistency.
So maybe he'll hate you a little bit less than other civs hate you when you declare on him, but he still hates you.
Yeah.
He just respects the warmongering.
Yeah.
China, civilization ability is Mandate of Heaven. Policy cards can be purchased with faith and not with gold. And then they have the same Eureka and Inspiration bonus. First unique unit is back to the crossbow. Does have minus 10 range strength, main attack twice per turn. So quite not as good as the Egyptian War Chariot. The second unique unit is a Fire Lancer, replaces the Musketman. It's available at Military Engineering and gets plus 5 melee strength after the discovery of gunpowder.
Hmm. So you get a unique unit that
gets
uses...
stronger.
No, that uses gunpowder and then...
gets melee strength.
Yeah, I know. Here's a thought. How about move the Niter? Move that earlier for China.
That could
That'd be nice, although since this is replacing the musket, you would presumably have no resource requirement for it as it's a unique unit.
That's true. But you should still get it earlier, just for consistency's sake.
Yes, that would be nice if it worked like most of the other resources and had sensible prereq, yeah.
Probably get a lot of era crossover with the crossbowman as well.
Yeah.
Plus five strength musket isn't bad. It's certainly a decent unit, especially if you get it early, but even if you don't, it's okay.
I mean, it's available at Military Engineering, which is like right before muskets.
Well, I'm just looking at it as a resourceless plus five strength musket. No, that's fine.
Yeah, it's just a little weird that you would go that roundabout rather than just handing it five melee strength.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, unique infrastructure. We have the pagoda, which replaces the shrine. I believe the pagoda is also currently a building.
It's currently a religious building, so you'd have to, I don't know, make a new religious building.
Pagoda underscore one.
Well, underscore yeah. one. One great writer point per turn, plus one faith if the holy site is on a tile with charming appeal, two with breathtaking. It makes sense giving them more faith in either a unit or infrastructure since policy cards can be purchased with faith now.
Yeah, that's the one that's really interesting to me, so that it's purchased with faith, not with gold. It's not, though, you have the faith option as well as gold. It's purchased with faith. Except that when I complete a civic...
they're free.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I can recall a time where I actually had to purchase policy cards out of desperate need.
It's less necessary.
I like the idea of maybe that you can't do something that you would otherwise do with, then you have to use faith, or you get a better quote-unquote bang for your buck by using faith instead of gold, which makes me think about, you know, Russian great people, for example, which we already have that. It would cost less faith than gold. I don't know exactly what, but that's such an edge case. It really doesn't feel like a civilization ability. It feels like something that might be nice for any civ to be able to do in that particular case rather than paying with gold if they have the faith, but we're missing something here.
It could be like in the theology government.
Yeah, it could even be that. I mean, I do like the concept that the pagoda, or at least something from a holy site, is actually getting faith based on the appeal of a tile. That actually makes a bit more sense to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe even as a standard building in the actual game, they could adjust something like that.
You could, at a certain threshold, whatever the condition is for getting that Eureka and Inspiration, whatever the number of turns that it would cut that down on, this would have to be a pretty high threshold, though, that you could purchase with faith that Eureka or Inspiration, and then maybe limit it to you can only do this once per era, because otherwise you could just, like, woo, look at me fly through.
Yeah. Faith fly your way up the tech tree.
Yeah, it's, let's not.
I think it could have ability, if it was limited to
once per era?
Eh.
Pretty high threshold of faith as well. Like, you're going to have to bank this faith rather than doing something else with it and then be able to time it. It's like, oh, look at that. I got the Eureka or Inspiration otherwise, and I was saving all this faith for that. Oh, well.
does provide meaningful choice.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
I like it. It would be unique, and it would give something else to play with when it comes to Faith.
Their first leader back from Civ 5, Wu Zetan. Capital is Jean. I probably pronounced that wrong, but oh well. Ability, Acts of Grace. Each specialist provides +1 to their yield. Now, we don't have many abilities or bonuses around specialists because they're not as good as before.
But that would make them slightly better.
Yeah.
Her agenda would be collection of precious glories. So she's a hoarder. She tries to.
I wonder what she's hoarding.
It's great works of writing. And dislikes people who compete for great writers with her or steal great works from her.
I would hope that dislike would be greater if you went to the point of actually stealing it and she know that you stole it, but sure.
Yeah.
Leader number two, we have Kang Ji, capital of Beijing. Ability is King Porcelain. A city that both has a theater and industrial district produces extra amenity. Each city with at least one foreign religion that is a state religion in another empire produces +5 science. Just seems pretty strong.
Well, there are always state religions in another empire, right?
Yeah.
Because if it's not yours, then it's definitely somebody else's, right?
Yeah.
Extra 5 science, please.
No, that's fine. That kind of is similar to Gandhi's bonus for having followers of different religions in your cities.
Mm-hmm. The agenda is Sacred Edict. Aims to spread his religion to every city he owns. Likes leaders who spread religion to his cities, but dislikes leaders who convert his cities.
Wait a minute.
I'm confused.
I must spread my religion, but you like spreading your religion, but not too much.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. It's a fine line between love and hate right there.
Yeah.
Give me a little, not a lot. Now I kill you. Or I randomly use an inquisitor and... Oh, wait. Oops.
Why aren't you spreading your religion to me?
Yeah. I accidentally used an inquisitor on your religion, so I no longer like you.
yeah.
Oops.
Well. The Romans. All cities start with a trading post and a road to the capital, if in trade route range. Cities suffer no war weariness.
That's
what?
Wait a minute now.
Is just fine without... that extra, you know, weird weirdness thing.
We'll just leave that off there. Legion cost +20 production, has a single build charge, and can use it to build a fort, a road, or clear terrain. Ballista replaces the catapult, +1 melee strength, +3 bombard strength. Oh, the bath. Must be built next to a source of fresh water or an aqueduct, +1 amenity, +1 culture. Units heal twice as fast on a tile with a Roman bath.
Hmm. At least he's switching out the... bath from being in aqueduct replacement.
Yes.
Although, I'm not sure about spammed amenities. Hey, look, I need an amenity. Oh, look, there's a one-tile lake right there. Okay, that's lots of amenities, thanks. Guess we don't have to worry about being unhappy. Ever.
These three hexes of a lake, so I'll put one here, and then one adjacent, and another adjacent, and another adjacent. Maybe it's just like, yeah, you can't have baths adjacent to each other. That would help a little, but still.
A little bit.
Augustus, +10% production in the capital, -10% to the cost of upgrading units.
Only 10%. That's actually not that much.
Yeah.
Will invest money in upgrading his army as compared to anybody else. Wait, what? Likes leaders with modern armies, dislikes leaders with armies containing many obsolete units.
So like every other AI?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this one will love the player and hate every other AI.
It's certainly different.
Dislikes leaders with armies containing many obsolete units. I think most leaders would actually quite like that if they were fighting them.
Yeah. I like you. You never learned about anything.
Although it will encourage him to attack those nations, and thus he can probably crush them.
Yep.
As if you needed more reason.
I like you. You're dumb.
Yeah. And then Marcus Aurelius. Gain a random eureka or inspiration when destroying a barbarian encampment and can negotiate peace after 5 turns of war instead of 10.
Mm. I steal your settler. Haha, peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have to agree to it, though. But yeah, I guess the AI would.
Yeah.
I like the first part. Yeah, I went random eureka or inspiration when destroying a barbarian encampment.
Mm.
Okay.
But that would be called Sumeria. Oh, yeah.
They don't exist in this guy's list.
That's right. I got swapped out. And then, oh yes, the agenda. Likes leaders who fight barbarians, dislikes leaders who do not clear barbarian camps close to their borders.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to define close to your borders, please?
Yep.
Yeah. And if you're liking leaders who fight barbarians, they might take the encampment instead of you, and then you're going to miss out on your ability. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Oh, well. I guess there's fighting barbarians, and then there's the actual act of clearing the camp. Okay.
That's where all the goodies are.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the fun is.
Wee, wee, wee.
So, France, civilization ability, liberty leading the people, double tourism for winters. Oh, yeah, like France needs more tourism. Boy. Plus 20% production to medieval, Renaissance, and industrial era wonders. Ooh. Plus one combat strength. Yeah, when fighting against civilizations with a different government. Unique unit one, a musketeer, which replaces a muskman, plus four melee strength.
Whoop-de-doo.
Oh, boy, something in French I'm not going to be able to pronounce, but it's fancy cavalry.
Cavalier.
What? Yeah. How is that hard to say?
She's Texan. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Texan is French. It's not. Plus two maintenance. Wait, plus two maintenance?
Ouch.
Of course.
Plus six melee strength upgrades to a tank.
Paying two maintenance for six melee strength.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Plus one combat strength when fighting against civilizations with a different government. Plus one?
Plus one.
Ouch.
A whole entire one. Okay, guys.
Does that stack, that plus one? Could you declare in like four different civs that have different governments and then they get like five or four combat strength or five if you're fighting five and so forth?
Got another cross worm happening for no reason again.
Hey, guys, declare war on me. I'm having trouble with this one AI.
Trust me, I'm peaceful.
I'll totally kill you last. Pinky swear.
Chateau. Plus two culture, plus three if next to a wonder, plus one appeal, and I guess that's supposed to be plus one gold if next to a luxury resource.
Okay.
Whatever.
Build your chateau's next to cool stuff, basically. Leader one, Louis. Which one? You're not specific.
Yep.
All of them. Yes.
All of them at the same time.
The link is to Louis the 14th.
Oh, okay. Just forgot to type the 14th.
Yes.
In there. All right, so Louis, the capital of Versailles, ability, ancient regime, foreign religion spread 50% slower in cities with the garrison unit. After recruiting or patronizing great general, writer, artist, or musician, 20% of its great person point cost is refunded, and the palace holds three slots for great works.
So part of that, Congolese are saying, I beg your pardon.
And the other part of that is Brazil saying what?
Agenda. The Sun King likes civilizations with a weaker culture that can be influenced, dislikes civilizations with a culture stronger, almost as strong as France.
Wouldn't that just be like civilizations with a weaker culture, full stop?
Pretty much.
Because if you have a weaker culture than France, then you can be influenced by France, no?
Mm-hmm.
So is that tourism or culture per turn?
Yeah.
Leader two, Napoleon. Capital of Paris, ability of the Grand Army. Units earn great general points from kills, plus one movement for range and siege units. Siege units start with the expert crew promotion. Yeah, agenda, code civil. Dislikes leaders waging religious wars or using inquisitors.
So what do they like then? Are they just, I guess Napoleon's just a glass half empty kind of guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yep. He's here for the armies and conquering things. He has no time for your petty religious wars.
All right. Indaya.
Oh, dear.
Speaking of die, there's no Gandhi, so there we go. Finally, the Sith is not representing the Nuke Lord. It's less meme-tastic, but very appreciated. So, Civ ability. I'm pulling a Mackie here. Himsa. Receive follower belief bonuses in a city from each religion with at least one follower. Okay. Unique unit 1, Royal Elephant, replaces Horseman, not called Varu, plus 40 production, minus 2 movement, plus 5 combat strength, minus 5 combat strength for adjacent enemy units. Upgrade straight to a tank, apparently.
Yeah, wow. You're stuck with this forever.
Right to the tank.
Yep.
Go from a living tank to a metal tank, and nothing in between. All right. So it'll be good for a while, but then I hope you don't mind garrisoning it somewhere or just deleting it, because, yeah.
Yeah.
For the Royal Elephant, you got the plus 5 combat strength, and then you got minus 5 combat strength for adjacent enemy units, so plus 10.
Yeah, and if it's like Varu's, that minus 5 stacks, so...
LOL.
Yeah, that can be a pretty sound stomping, potentially. Like, it would be good in its era, for certain. And the plus 5 base strength on top of that is very helpful. So yeah, it's not a bad unit by reading it. Unique unit 2, Siege Gun, replaces Bombard, plus 20 production, minus 1 movement. So this thing is slow, but it's compensated with plus 10 Bombard strength and plus 1 range. So you have a 3 range unit pretty early.
Okay.
That's going to hit pretty hard. I really don't like the 1 movement speed for turn, but whatever.
If we didn't have that and it had the plus 1 attack range on top of the plus 10 Bombard strength, it'd be like, why would you even think twice about something else?
Well,
shouldn't they just call this the anti-siege gun? Because then you could sit there and just build it in the city and never move it.
That's true. Never, ever, ever move it.
It'd be pretty hard to press these because they'd be shooting you from all angles all over the friggin' place if you're attacking India in this era. With the slow movement speed, you could still kind of sort of inch one towards the city over time if you plan ahead. So it could have some use on the offense, just not nearly as much. Okay, so leaders, Ashoka, Capital Patna, ability Chakravartin. New cities automatically get converted to the state religion. I'm presuming that's just cities you found, not conquer. State religion spreads 50% faster to foreign cities. Yes, so cities you found, not conquer. Up to 6 tiles away from India's borders. And plus 1 faith from sheep, cattle, ivory, horses, furs, and deer. Okay.
It's very thematic.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like
it. Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Agenda is Dhamma, tries to avoid warmongering penalties as much as possible. So basically game throws, hates warmongers and those with weak faith, likes peaceful leaders with a strong faith. So too bad, Ashoka. I guess they're representing you in the second half of your life or whatever. Once you started feeling bad about all those kills.
No.
It's unfortunate, but whatever. Leader 2, Nehru. Capital Delhi, ability, scientific temper. This just gives me a weird mental picture of someone getting like really butthurt over research or something. I don't think that's what we're going for here. Plus 25% production towards campuses, minus 10% production towards holy sites. Double war weariness suffered by those declaring war on Nehru. So a little bit of the Gandhi impact. Agenda non-aligned. Never gets the ideologue agenda. Dislikes ideologues.
I like it.
So my agenda is to not get a different agenda.
And hates you. I hate you if you have one. Yeah.
Yep.
That's so bad. Your agenda is rawr.
So Ashoka will try to avoid fighting you. This guy is going to come after you if you're an ideologue.
Yeah, that's not really an agenda.
No.
They could have put like anti in parentheses before agenda. Then it would work.
Yeah, maybe.
And again, there's nothing that they like in the agenda.
Yeah. I guess the one problem with people trying to design civs from the outside is that civs can have things they like as separate from their actual listed things. So they like ideologue or the never getting ideologue agenda. That can just be a line item under the leader, not as part of the agenda. It could just be something that just in the code in the background happens. Stuff like that does exist in the game already.
Yes.
Anywho, the Aztecs. Bloodbaths for everybody.
Yeah.
Civ ability, Son of Movement. Gain culture and faith from killing enemy units. Units have plus 1 movement in Rainforest.
So that includes barbarians, right?
Yeah. Sure. Unique unit 1, the Eagle Warrior. Replacing the sword. Plus 25 production cost. Plus 8 combat strength. Plus 10 in a Rainforest. So I'm assuming that's... Is it plus 18 or is that 8 go to 10? Because that would kind of be really sucky. Has a chance of capturing an enemy unit, turning it into a builder, does not require iron. You know the funny thing about this? They could just put that as part of the ability.
Yeah, but I do interpret the combat as, no, in Rainforest you'd then be plus 18.
Yeah, well, it could be plus 10 in Rainforest. So that plus 8 is when you're not in a Rainforest and you get 2 extra when you're in a Rainforest, which would be a little weird. Because you get plus 3 for being in a forested hex on defense.
Yeah. I mean, if it said plus 8 combat strength and then in brackets plus 10 in rainforest, oh, so that'd be the instead of. But I just like the idea of it being stacked because it just sounds amazing.
Those units are very similar, though.
Yeah, the Jaguar Warrior, which now replaces the Knight, turning your war carts into Jaguar Warriors is amusing. Minus 15 production cost, plus 8 strength, plus 10 in a rainforest.
Here we go again.
See, this is why I'm thinking this is actually like... If you're in a rainforest, it's only a plus 10. not plus 18. Minus 2 movement, because and the capture enemy units returns in a builder, does not require iron. You know the funny part? That does not require iron doesn't have to be written here, because, well, it's a unique unit. No unique unit uses a resource. And why would you have two different units that do the exact same thing about capturing enemy units and turning into builder?
No, you got the mounted and the sword line, so everything can steal.
Yeah, but now...
Get workers all over the place. Lots and lots of workers.
Yeah, except that you removed mobility from them.
And you can't use the new workers you've captured to build districts faster.
Yeah. Where's that? That's not there.
Oh, you're right. They took that out. Why'd they take that out?
And of course, the unique infrastructure is the Tletchley. Same thing. Amenity, faith, great general point, whatever.
Well, on the capturing an enemy unit and turning into a builder, I'm assuming, first off, that would be like a full charge builder, your standard 3-charge builder. What is the chance? I take is that just the random number generator maybe screwing you over?
No, it's probably the same chance as what's in the game right now. I assume they're not trying to change that.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, leader one, Coyote?
Sure.
Neza Coyote, why not? Dex Coco, I'm not even bothered. I just know I'm going to mess that up, so it doesn't matter. Plus 5 faith output when at peace. Libraries contain 1 slot for works of art. Sure. And 1 food from lake or and oasis tiles. Okay. Although I'm going to point out, libraries containing 1 slot for a work of art, you're going to have libraries and empty art slots for a very long time.
Yes.
Agenda, Athens of the West. Housing is a priority, dislike leaders who neglect this. Can you define that? And why did you say Athens of the West? Why not the Roma of the West?
So yeah, housing is a priority, dislikes leaders who neglect this issue. So again, nothing that's going to make them happy. If as long as you follow that issue, they don't really care. But if you don't, then he dislikes you.
Yeah, basically, if your pop hits your housing cap, then he doesn't like you because you're not making bigger cities.
That's just another guy that doesn't like you, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, so long as there's the, oh, he will like you if you are staying on top of that. It's just, where's the positive?
Yeah, there's no positive.
You don't get a positive. Get wrecked.
And, of course, leader two, Monty. Each luxury in Aztec territory provides plus 1 amenity to 2 extra cities and plus 1 combat strength units, so usual Monty boost. Agenda, though, protector of merchants. We'll try to collect every luxury resource available, dislike civs with luxuries doesn't have. Why would you change the name to Protector of Merchants? Like, that has nothing to do with...
It's a lie. It's a trap.
Why would you change the name of the agenda if you're just going to use the agenda? I don't get it.
We will split this into a couple of episodes worth. So we'll do the second part in the subsequent episode, and we will end here on one more, which was just to cover 10 civs in this, and then roughly 10 and a little more in another episode.
For Mother Russia, civilization ability, General Winter, minus 5 combat strength for enemy units inside Russian territory. 1 faith, 1 production from Tundra, and they start with 8 tiles around them.
What? Really?
Oh, man.
City starting with 8 tiles around them. Does that 8 plus the 6 that you usually start with? Because that's actually a pretty big nerf. Russia right now, when you slap down a city, you're going to get way more than 8 tiles.
Yeah, I do take that as just 8 tiles full stop. So
that's a massive...
Well, their land grabbing is pretty ridiculous regardless.
Yes, but
are
still...
Are they getting a buff to compensate? Let's find out.
The buff is minus 5 combat strength for enemy units inside their territory.
Well, that is...
They live in permanent winter.
Yes, didn't you know?
First unit, the Goulier Gorod?
GG.
GG. Places the siege tower, minus 20 production, no maintenance cost. Stacked range units as well as musketmen receive plus 5 combat strength when stacked with the siege tower. You suffer 60% of damage caused by pre-industrial units to a stacked unit.
So basically, your archers and muskets get 5 combat strength more, and the GD, instead of not having health and dying right away, takes 60% of the damage that the stacked unit would get, therefore saving the stacked unit a little longer.
That makes sense.
Which is a good bonus.
They've done away with the Cossack for the second unit. We have the Liebe Guard. Plus 10 production, plus 8 melee strength, gain culture from killing enemy units.
So basically they changed the name of the Cossacks.
Almost like a Rough Rider to some degree.
Yeah, you'd wonder.
Hmm. Unique infrastructure is the same. It's the Lavra. Places Holy Site, minus 30 production, plus one great prophet, writer, artist, and musician. Their first leader is Ivan the Terrible. Ability is Subnik, plus one gold per turn for each specialist. Territory unconnected to the capital is automatically connected if the gap of the territories is one tile.
So place cities just far enough away from each other and autofill?
Pretty much.
I think so. Yeah. Third Rome, he likes leaders with high output of faith and culture in the capital.
Well, goes with, again, the Lavra and expanding the city's borders. When a great person is used and having the additional tiles around them, and then, okay, you want to fight me, you want to get through me, and you're going to try to go in between my two cities. Oh no, I'm sorry, they're placed just so, so you're going to have to fight with minus 5 combat strength. Man, wow. You could really protect yourself on in the early game when that minus 5 is going to be considerably more powerful than as the game goes on.
And I got to wonder, territory unconnected to the capital is automatically connected if the gap between territories is one tile. What if you put, I don't know, two cities, you buy out three hexes in each direction. Now you have a two-tile gap. And then you use a Lavra, and it gives you one tile in between. Now you have one of the cities is now only one hex away with a gap. So the one hex in between is filled in. Does it keep filling it in all the way up the line?
Is it only one tile, or is it multiple one-tile spots?
Yeah. If it's just the one, then you're still going to have a huge gap all around your cities. But if it's just like, okay, well, we'll connect exactly one hex in that case, then it's a little less big.
Yeah.
Second leader, we have the return of Catherine. Ability is Star of the North. Foreign trade routes both from and to Russia provide plus one random great person point depending on the districts, if any, in the foreign city. And then the agenda is a new kind of person, like civilizations that attract many great people, dislike civilizations that do not compete for great people.
So don't send trade routes to Catherine. All the more reason.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I actually don't mind that ability because it's actually functional and it uses other mechanics. So I think the random great person is depending on the district. So if you have two districts, like that place has a science district and an industrial district, it'll random between the two, which is probably easily messed with.
Maybe it could just be the first district built in that city.
It's also messy.
It could be, but it says random, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it being random, but it would have to be pick that random for the length of the trade route and not just constantly flip back and forth every turn.
Yes.
Because that would be weird. And you shouldn't be able to stack up on a trade route. So I have 10 trade routes going to the same city because it's the only one that built a campus. Look at me go, plus 10 great scientist points. Wee. Random that. So you'd have to spread out your trade routes or do it per civ instead of per city.
That makes sense.
But otherwise, I mean, the ability as a concept seems actually viable. Although given the fact that you've got the Lavra already pumping out crap, just seems to like pile on.
They like land.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in permanent winter.
Apparently.
We'll continue this topic on a subsequent episode of the show.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series' official website at
thepolycast.net.
Just need a deep trailer voice to make the sell.
I refuse.
Why do you refuse?
Because it's your turn to get us out of here.
I was going to ask because actually Skype is frozen up and I can't see who's doing what, so I wasn't sure.
It's you.
Anyway, this has been episode 292 of Polycast. I'm Makalu and I'm joined by the usual crew, Dan Q.
Backwards or forwards, it's still 292.
This is true. Bad Jin.
Inside out, it's 553.
Okay. The Mia team.
I kindly accept your builder donation.
I bet you do. And our guest whose name I can't... Oh, wait. One crazy Canadian. I remembered.
Woohoo! That's all I got.
I think Magin has also committed to doing something special for the 553rd episode of Polycast.
I'm not telling you.
About it. Record date?
October 14th, 2017.
Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips. Copyright Take 2 Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.